Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Roosevelt Borough Council meeting of May 29th, 2018. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 2nd, 2018, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was mailed to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Mr. Parker?
Mr. Cody.
Ms. Parrott? So the record will show that she's absent. Ms. Sheehan?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay, we have a few things on the agenda tonight. We have visitors here who will be, I have a proclamation to read, so you'll understand why they're here. We have contracts that we have to vote on for our water sewer operators, and I think the rest is pretty much regular business.
The borough budget.
Oh, thank you. That little thing. And the introduction of the borough budget. So I'm going to come right to public comment for agenda items only. I'm going to do something a little different. Everyone has one pass at the microphone, so you can say whatever it is that you have to say or question or comment, but will be allowed one turn at the microphone for agenda. The public comment on the agenda and one turn at the microphone for the second public comment section. So do I have anyone who would like to speak? Mr. Cragen?
It's time in 7:09.
Right.
Last meeting, Joe had mentioned something about the...
Hold on.
Bob Cragen, 7th School Lane.
Thank
Sorry.
You.
Last meeting, Joe had mentioned something about the fact that the suppliers for the new contract will also be doing testing for us. Has anyone compared their costs, and how do their costs compare from the new contract to what we were paying before, at least in the most expensive, say, three or four tests? Joe, can you suggest to Joe?
May I answer that? The testing is for lab analysis for water and sewer and whatnot. Can you make sure your mic is turned on, the little switch on the top there, Bob?
Pardon me?
Can you make sure your mic is turned on, the little switch on the top?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay, so last year, Garden State Labs charged us $14,900 for a chemical test for testing lab services at the sewer plant. Can you hear me? Okay. Garden State Labs charged $14,900 for testing at the sewer plant last year. Mike Lyons' company took that figure and took about 20% off of it to charge us this year about $12,000.
Okay. That's a guaranteed cap, or that's an estimate?
That's in the contract, sir.
Can I elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. Good. That's great.
There are two companies that we used for testing. One of them was called Hatch, H-A-C-H company. We spent $15,484, a little over $15,000 for testing from them. And Garden State was around the same, $14,950, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So total of over $30,000 for testing.
So the main point is that it should be equal or less.
It should be less. When we teased out the numbers, they did testing. Each of the companies does testing for water and also at the sewer treatment plant. So if you're just talking about the sewer treatment contract, which is about $1,000 a month extra because they're doing all the testing for $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. It took, when you factor it out, we spent well over... I think about $18,000.
A lot of money.
Yeah, on the testing, and they're doing it for 12, and we think we're going to have additional savings on top
okay.
of that. So it works out to be a good.
And I want to jump in also. I spoke with Mike Lyons this afternoon before I came over here. That testing for 12,000 as opposed to 14,900 is for the sewer plant. He said he could give us a similar break on the water plant, and they were up by 14,000 or 15,000 last year also. So if we get 20% off that, we're looking pretty good, sir.
And then I guess a final question for Greg here. Does the aggregate cost of the testing total over the 19.5 to require putting it out for bid at some point?
Well, it's
17.5.
No, wouldn't okay. be expected to. But it's also rolled into the professional services contract, so they got the all-in-one. The question before is whether it was capped. The answer is yes, it's right in the contract that it's $1,000 a month, essentially. And the answer is, as we discussed last time, there is a specific exemption of the local public contracts law.
I can't hear you. Can you speak to the mic, please?
There's a specific exception under the local public contracts law, section 5, that allows for wastewater treatment and water treatment to be awarded without bids.
Understood. So the next question is, even if there's not a legal requirement for bidding, does it make sense, since the emergency is over now, we have qualified people on board, can we now put out a request for quotes to the newspaper, to the public, to see what other bids would come in on the same equal, apples and apples contract?
That would ultimately be a decision of the governing body, but it's my understanding that these are, so you can award these contracts for up to 10 years. This one has been awarded for 1 year. And I believe it's the intention to go out at the end of these contracts, or before them, obviously, for an RFQ, an RFP, to obtain multiple bids.
So the RFQ is up on, is that on the table then for tonight or to?
No, it would be at the end of these contracts.
At the end of this contract, which
yes.
is 3 months?
No, it's yeah. 1 year.
1 year.
Okay. Correct.
But it has a 90-day out?
Correct. If we don't like the services, the borough has the ability to cancel on 90 days notice,
okay.
which 90 days notice is essentially the same period of time you need to do an RFP.
Okay. I don't mean to belabor the point, but how do you know you're getting the best value for the borough's money if you don't have a public bid on the services?
Well, the local public contracts law recognizes that in a lot of circumstances, the lowest bid isn't necessarily the best bid. Professional services, one. This wastewater treatment and water treatment is also a carved-out exception among 27 others due to the fact that, you know, proximity, service, pricing, emergency response time, and things like that. The council, you know, we have done a lot of work up here for the last 3 months to try to find people that could manage this and would be willing to come out, you know, to Roosevelt's relatively remote compared to some of the other parts of the county, and negotiated exhaustively with them, to be honest with you, you know, to get the best deal for the next year under, you know, the auspices of Toby's retirement. It's coming up very shortly. So the idea was this is a measure to put these people in place and then have a bid at the end of their term of their short contract. But if something goes wrong, then we can get out in 90 days and do the exact same thing. That was the ultimate compromise that was reached amongst the governing body.
What is the total aggregate amount for water and sewer to replace Toby for a year? What's the total of testing and everything that we're estimating right now?
You mean how much?
How much does it cost?
What do you mean? Like, what are the prices on the contracts, or what did Mr. Moore cost? Like, what do we pay before versus now?
Well, that's the next question, is how does it compare? But right now the question I'm asking, please, is what is the total cost facing the borough for water and sewer for the next year on the contract, if you add up the two contracts?
Let's see, it's $8,000. Joe, do you know off the top of your head?
Okay, last year the combined personnel totals without fringes was $158,000. Okay.
Last year?
Yeah.
And this next contract for the water.
This contract for the people that we've chosen for these contracts, the combined total without testing is about $158,000.
It's about equal.
But okay. Then, if I may, okay. Mr. Cragen, then they're paying their own fringes and stuff like that. We don't. their companies. We paid additional fees for 401ks and Social Security and workman's comp and all of the above.
We also paid for the operators' licenses, and we won't have to do it with this.
So far it looks like a win-win-win situation.
I'd just like to thank Joe for all his hard work. I know he's been working very hard for the water and sewer for the last year. As an ex-government person, though, I'm really uncomfortable with the idea of not bidding contracts. If you don't bid contracts, especially big ones, how do you know if there's not some malfeasance somewhere along the line that could creep in? That's the answer. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Would anyone else like to comment on the agenda? Mary?
Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. Well, just kind of following on that, how did you find the companies that were selected? Did you consider any others? If you did, were there any kind of positives and negatives that you could talk about?
Well, both of these men work for the borough of Allentown. And
both companies work for borough of Allentown?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We went to the borough engineer. We said to the borough engineer, do you know people that would be able to do this size plant would come, and who do you think would be best? Mm-hmm.
They were highly recommended.
Yeah. And did you check with Hightstown also, or any other places?
Mm-hmm. They have their own.
I think Hightstown runs its own plant with its own DPW.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it looked like are the operators from both of these companies going to be here every day? In one contract, it said 7 days a week there would be a presence. Another contract said 365 days a year. So do you expect that somebody would be here for water, for sewer, every day?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Yes.
So, Mr. Lai, the water treatment operator is required by state law to be here every day to do testing. So he had estimated it would be a minimum of 2 hours per day.
Minimum.
You know, if he finds an issue, he'd be here longer when he's reading meters, that sort of thing. But he'd be here certainly every day. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Mr. Lyons has to be here every day, but he indicated that he would have someone check in every day, pretty much.
There'll be at least 4 to 5 hours of one of his or two of his people here on a daily basis.
Okay.
And then I just was wondering, on the budget cap increase, it says it is for the benefit of the health, safety, and welfare of the residents. Are there some more details about
the cap? The cap thing is something that they allow you to go an additional 1% over if you have some extraordinary costs. So I think roughly 97% of all municipalities pass the cap bank ordinance, which allows you. So if you have a big lawsuit that springs up out of nowhere that can be catastrophic to a town our size, this would allow us to go over another 1% in the budget if we need to do that. So it's just
Do we do it every year?
Mm-hmm. We do it every year, and we never use it, thank goodness.
Oh, okay. So this is just kind of a safety measure in case it was needed.
Yeah, it's a provision in the law that gives you that extra leeway if you need it.
But it's part of the regular business. We do pass it every year.
Pass it.
Okay. Michael Tifton, 37 North Valley. One question. As a result of everything that's going on with the water and sewer, do we have any sense at this point if there is going to be any impact on the monthly fees, and if so, what might it be?
Water sewer is not going up this year. We remain stable for the rest of 2018.
I just wanted to be able to say that.
Okay.
Did I steal your thunder?
You stole my
thunder.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, no, Joe, you can say it.
I'm cautiously optimistic that the water and sewer rates will not be increased this year. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. We close the public comment on the agenda items at 7:21. Come to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to pass the regular minutes of May 14th, 2018?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Parrott is absent. Sorry. Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Next, I have a proclamation I'm going to read. It's declaring the first Friday in June, which I believe is next Friday,
yes,
to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day. This proclamation declares the first Friday in June to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day in the Borough of Roosevelt to honor and remember all victims and survivors of gun violence and to declare that we as a country must do more to reduce gun violence. Whereas every day, 96 Americans are killed by gun violence, and on average, there are nearly 13,000 gun homicides every year. And whereas Americans are 25 times more likely to be killed with guns than people in other developed countries. And whereas protecting public safety in the communities they serve is the mayor's highest responsibility. And whereas support for the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens goes hand in hand with keeping guns away from dangerous people. And whereas mayors and law enforcement officers know their communities best, are the most familiar with local criminal activity and how to address it, and are best positioned to understand how to keep their citizens safe. And whereas in January 2013, Hadiah Pendleton, a teenager who marched in President Obama's second inaugural parade and was tragically shot and killed just weeks later, should be now celebrating her 21st birthday. And whereas to help honor Hadiah and the 96 Americans whose lives are cut short and the countless survivors who are injured by shootings every day, a national coalition of organizations has designated June 1st, 2018, the first Friday in June, as the fourth National Gun Violence Awareness Day. And whereas the idea was inspired by a group of Hadiah's friends who asked their classmates to commemorate her life by wearing orange. They chose this color because hunters wear orange to announce themselves to other hunters when out in the woods, and orange is a color that symbolizes the value of human life. And whereas anyone can join this campaign by pledging to wear orange on June 1st, the first Friday in June 2018, to help awareness about gun violence. And whereas by wearing orange on June 1st, 2018, Americans will raise awareness about gun violence and honor the lives of gun violence victims and survivors. And whereas we renew our commitment to reduce gun violence and pledge to do all we can to keep firearms out of the wrong hands and encourage responsible gun ownership to help keep our children safe. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Mayor Malkin of the Borough of Roosevelt declares the first Friday in June, June 1st, 2018, to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day. I encourage all citizens to support their local community's efforts to prevent tragic effects of gun violence and to honor and value human lives. Proclaim this 29th day of May, 2018. And what I would like to do is invite Teresa Turner to come to the mic, and she has a few words she would like to say.
Thank you so much. I do want to thank you, Mayor Malkin, and the whole Borough Council of Roosevelt for doing this proclamation. My name is Teresa Turner, and I am one of the founders of the Monmouth County Group of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. I'm also a mother of four. Two of my kids are right here supporting me, and they're really the reason that I joined this movement. And much like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Moms Demand Action is nonpartisan, grassroots, movement that was begun after the Newtown shooting in 2012. We fully support the right of law-abiding citizens to own firearms, but our goal is to reduce that 36,000 deaths that occur every year through gun violence. And we do that through sensible legislation and promoting gun safety and trying to prevent unintentional shootings in the home. I really sincerely thank you for doing this proclamation for National Gun Violence Awareness Day in Roosevelt. And I invite everyone who, you know, is on board with this to wear orange, not only Friday, which is this Friday, June 1st, but the whole weekend, to, you know, honor victims of gun violence and raise awareness of this issue in this country. And we also invite you and your families, I know it's a little far away, but we're doing our first Wear Orange community day and rally in Asbury Park at Springwood Park on Saturday. Please pray for no rain because it's an outdoor rally where we have survivors speaking, lawmakers speaking, students and musicians coming and singers to come together as a community. So if you can make this, I will leave some of these. I don't know where if I can leave them on the table somewhere.
Can you send it to me in an email or
absolutely.
No?
And I also
get it posted on the website,
yep,
if that's okay with everyone.
That would be great.
Would be awesome. I'll just leave you the hard copies. This is it's a little fact sheet about our group, Moms Demand Action, and that's the flyer for Wear Orange Day. And if anyone else would like any info on our group, I have a card, or you can take a fact sheet. I don't know if anyone else is interested in. We have a very active Monmouth County group, and we had one woman writing the letter to get the proclamation, couldn't make it tonight, from Roosevelt, whose name is Claire King, so I'm kind of, coming here in her place. I live in Spring Lake. But you are, just to let you know, one of 29 Monmouth County towns who have done this proclamation this year, which is, last year we had three.
Oh,
so
really?
This is just absolutely incredible that we've had such support for this this campaign this year. So I thank you. And if you wouldn't mind, just for our purposes, to pose for a picture with me. And
sure.
And whoever else would want to come up, maybe we can
the council.
Yeah.
I would love it if everybody came over.
Oh, he's got
an orange hat.
He's
got an orange hat.
Got an orange shorts and an orange hat.
You should sell a t-shirt.
We do. They're on. They're online.
Okay.
On the Everytown website.
Everytown, okay.
Yep.
You already have my pick. I'm an Aberdeen councilman. You already know. I'm a councilman in Aberdeen, but I'm the borough attorney here. So I don't actually.
Right. Yes, we did Aberdeen. That's right. And I have a bracelet for you, too.
Cody, go behind.
And you can keep these frisbees, too. I hope I.
I'll do it.
Are you guys going to move? Yes.
These guys can't be in the back row. You could see them.
He must be in the car on the phone. I thought he was going to be here.
The proclamation. You want to do weekend and then violence?
That's something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to step back just a little bit. 1, 2.
What lawmakers are on board with this in terms of legislation and support for violence?
We have incredible support for, in fact, there are six or seven gun bills that are on the Jersey State
That's
Senate on June 7th. They're expected to pass. Very, very sensible legislation. So we're doing well in New Jersey.
You're the Democratic Committee people in the town, so if we can support you in any way with talking to our legislators.
And I can come and we can do presentations for you as well.
Awesome.
For whoever
That's
might
great.
Want to hear more about our group. But
yep.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
If you want to hear.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great work. Yes, great. Your list book has an ordinance banning the destruction.
Sure.
And you're going to have to sign this one because I'll keep this for home, but
okay.
I'll give this to her right now.
Okay,
looks.
Yeah.
I can tell the mother and daughter candy, they look so much alike and built alike. And
it's interesting here because we're right at the edge of the Esser Bank and they can do as much as they want there. So it's interesting here sometimes.
Thank you again.
I think I remember
hearing
that
girl.
I'll send
it on.
She was still in touch. Thanks.
Yeah, just to know her name.
We should sing the national anthem.
Not a toy. Okay, back to our regular agenda.
Yep.
Oh.
So moved.
I'm like in another world.
No, it's a proclamation.
It's a proclamation.
Oh. There's no resolution to pass.
Okay.
It's a proclamation.
Yeah,
oh, good. I wasn't as ignorant as I thought. Okay, correspondence. We have none. We come to first reading. Ordinance 1803.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First reading, it's printed differently than it usually is.
I know. I'm doing things differently.
That's okay. I just want to make sure that I didn't do anything.
No.
Okay, first reading, Ordinance
18-03. Oh, this is supposed to say ordinance, that's why.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Calendar year 2018, ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank. NJSA 40A:4-45.
Point 14. Yeah, and then just read.
Okay. Well, I was going to let whoever made the motion, but okay.
Oh.
This ordinance authorizes an increase to 3.5% over the previous year's final appropriations. A public hearing will be held on June 11th, 2018 at 7 p.m. That's our next council meeting at the Borough Hall.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
One second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mayor, I'd like to offer resolution 1876, payment of bills.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Who was?
Resolution 1877.
I'll offer resolution 18-77.
I'll second that.
Do you want to read it, Cody?
Authorizing the award of a non-fair and open contract for water utility operator professional services to H2O Services LLC, 18 West Manor Way, Robbinsville, New Jersey 08691.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
1877 passes. We have awarded the contract to John Holden for water utility operator professional services. Resolution 18-78.
I'd like to offer 1878, authorizing the award of a non-fair and open contract for wastewater utility operator professional services to Lyons Environmental Services, LLC, 1105 Green Grove Road, Suite 2, Neptune, New Jersey, 07753.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, have a vote.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes. And I have a comment, if I may.
Go right ahead.
I understand that we have not had very public meetings until we've gotten this contract under our belts here. What I would like to do almost immediately within this next 2 weeks is have a public meeting introducing both of these fellows, or one at a time, to the public at a at a utilities meeting. So I want people to know that we should be as open as possible. If you have questions for these guys, get them ready. Okay? So, all right. So soon we will have these public meetings. Okay.
Resolution 18-79, authorizing temporary emergency appropriations, number 3.
I'll offer 1879.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? We have a roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
1879 passes.
Mayor, I offer Resolution 1880. This is introduction of the 2018 municipal budget.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
I just want to say this is the introduction of the municipal budget. This is the introduction of the municipal budget. There's not an open public hearing on it until the day when it's to be adopted, which is on the, when, the 20th?
June 26th.
Yes, and that is a Tuesday. That's not a Monday. 26th? It's the day after our normal meeting date.
Okay.
In other words, normally it would be Monday the 25th, but we're making a change so that it meets all the requirements.
Great.
28 days.
Mm-hmm.
What are we up to? Oh, you introduced it. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
No, I'm sorry. I already had a second by Mr.
Yeah.
Parker. He did.
That was just a
discussion. Oh, you had your comment. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to save most of my comments for the Finance Committee report.
Okay. Okay. So, roll call?
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And just reread this.
Yeah, I'm going to reread those. I'm going to copy Mike. So this is just to let everyone know that the public hearing on the budget will be June 26, 2018 at 7 p.m., which is a Tuesday. So it's a day later than our normal meeting day.
And I'll send out a notice in the two newspapers and post it on the bulletin board that the meeting has been changed to June 26, Tuesday, regular council meeting.
We come to reports of committee chairs, and again, I would ask everyone to be brief, just give a summary, and then if the public wants, they can, all the committee chairs have submitted, or mostly, I guess, have submitted a written report. So if you are interested in more details, you can read the written report, but for purposes of the council meeting, we'll just do a summary. Okay, administration, Councilmember Parrott is absent tonight. Community development and code enforcement. Councilmember Parker.
Again, I have to schedule out a meeting for community development. I still want to get a community going some point over the summer. I have a couple artists that are interested, local town artists. I want it to be more focused on community, like town artists, local musicians, local yoga. So I got to connect with a lot of those people. Kind of make a whole day long thing, but that's going to be on the topic for the next meeting that I'll be scheduling, and then I'll post that up.
Great. Sounds good. Environmental health and safety, Councilmember Sheehan?
Nothing to report at this point.
Okay. Finance, Councilmember Hamilton.
I have an extensive report, but I'll try to make it brief. And the highlight is everything leads up to the borough budget and the formation of the borough budget. And I have to say that I think this council did an excellent job all throughout the year of scrutinizing virtually every bill that's been on the bills list and really systematically revamping and looking at all of borough operations, looking at the finances related to that, and if there was a way to restructure things and to get contracts that are fixed rate so that we could reduce costs even further, we did it. So we took a lot of action, a lot of direct action to not only save taxpayers' money, but to be more effective and more efficient and to actually deliver more services to our taxpayers with the same amount of money. The bottom line is we're able to do a lot more because of a lot, because we were able to save a lot of money, that enabled us to move money around and take it out of line items in the budget and fund some things that we hadn't funded before. And so I think we did a good job of really digging in and taking a hard look at the budget. The biggest thing that we did, I guess, was regarding utility plant operations, which ended up today and culminating today with the two contracts that are on the agenda. It started with a whole thorough review of our operations in both plants. We did a complete investigation. We looked at the way that things were operating. We looked at the way that we thought things could be done better. And it resulted in the two contracts and contracting out for two separate companies, complete companies with employees to handle, one to handle the sewer treatment plant, one to handle the water treatment plant. It's a humongous task for one person to do all of that and do all the paperwork and all the DEP regs, you name it. That's a virtually impossible task in this day and age. So we're really glad to have two companies who I think are great, and I think they're going to save us money in the long run. Basically, I'm really happy that we were able to make these changes, and I wanted to thank Toby, who worked for years as a sole operator of both plants, doing everything. But I think moving ahead, we'll be able to save money, and the whole goal is to have better outcomes, to have more reliable services, and to have perfectly clean water and safe water on a consistent, everyday basis so that you can drink it, you can wash your clothes in it, you can do anything you want with it, and I think for the price that our utility ratepayers pay for water, it ought to be perfect. And that's our goal. That's really our goal. And we think we have some great operators. John Holden, I went to Allentown. I toured his plant. I drank the water right out of the plant. It was great. Had no taste at all, which is exactly what you want, perfectly clear.
No smell.
I was impressed with his record-keeping, his diligence, just the whole way that he operates that plant. So I think what you'll find is that we have better outcomes through the year. I think you'll see water quality improve greatly, and I think it'll be a win-win thing for our ratepayers and our users over the year. So I'm really glad that this council decided to do something that was very difficult, and that's to dig in and make some really big changes that we hadn't made over the years. And I think it'll be a great thing. End of report.
Thanks, Mike. Public Works, Councilmember Bowen.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get up to speed with everything here, and I met with a couple of the Public Works guys, Greg and Dave Curtis, and I got the grand tour.
Of what?
The sewer plant, the garage, the water tower, the water treatment.
All the tourist spots.
Yeah, right. I became aware of a lot of the issues that are facing the Public Works. Everything needs to be upgraded, and like even snow blowers and the mower and the truck, all these things need to be serviced. We have a mower which is not really used all that much because we've contracted out for mowing, but for getting the over by the head, for events,
yeah,
over
the
there
monument,
they need to,
yeah,
get the mower, but there is no trailer to transport that mower around wherever it's needed. Dave's been using his own trailer, which is very kind of him, but we really should have our own equipment. Another important thing that came up was safety equipment. They need high visibility vests. They're out in the rain and with cones, and rainwear, rechargeable lights. They don't have rechargeable flashlights. The things that they do have were to go with the fire trucks, which are not usable right now. Other issues like trees over the sewer, whether or not they should come down, to clear out the area and rather than having them encroaching on everything. Speed signs, we need, Dave needs 6 more 25-mile-an-hour speed signs. Everything that they always wonder, I wonder who does that. Well, it's these two guys.
Yeah.
And they're very, very good. They're really qualified guys. We couldn't be better blessed. There's a huge amount of stuff that they do. I'm not going to go over all this stuff. But one thing I think we should keep in mind is, if we're going to be looking at infrastructure down the road or whatever, the garage, the repairs there, it's everything is sort of wet on the floor. And
sort of.
It really needs to be a functional garage. So just for everybody to keep that in mind. That's all for me.
Thank you, Steve. And last but not least, utilities, Councilmember Trammell.
Okay, I can start speaking freely about the utilities here, but we'll... So we've completed negotiations on the water and sewer contracts, and tonight the council will be asked to vote on awarding the water contract, H2O, and sewer treatment to Lyons Environmental. If ratified, both would be in effect June 1st, later this week. So these guys will be on board as of June 1st. They have to sign off with their DEP 065 forms that will make them the licensed operators, Greg, so when they sign their contracts, they also need to do these 065s. And we wish to thank Toby Moore for his years of service and dedication to our town. Knowing that this has not been an easy task to operate and maintain these systems as they age and the DEP and EPA regulations have mounted and added to his burden as the years have progressed. Toby will stay on board through the month of June and act as advisor while the new operators become acclimated to the systems. We wish Toby Godspeed and all the best in his retirement. At this point in time, we are optimistic that the water sewer rates will not increase anytime soon and hope there may be a cost savings as time goes by. We are comfortable when once we are comfortable that the plants are under control and the new operators with the new operators, we will turn our attention to the infrastructure and try to develop a long-term plan dealing with our aging water and sewer pipes. Some of them date back to the original town plan, and they must be addressed. So this will be the next step for the Utilities Committee after we settle into this water thing and sewer thing. Thanks for your patience through all of this and your attention through all of this. So, and all of the comments that I've gotten through this past 6 months, I hope that they work out for the town and these contracts. I'm very optimistic about this situation now. So, thank you. Okay.
Well, yeah, and I just want to add, Mike talked about it, but the council's been working since last August diligently and nonstop to get the utilities in the shape that they needed to be. Things were neglected, things were overlooked, and we all know we had a few incidents last year that were less than desirable.
The DEP really and the EPA showed us what needed to be done, and we've been working diligently in that direction.
We called in the DEP as soon as we took office and really let them guide us as to what was remiss, what needed to be done, what had to be done immediately, what could be left to a later date. And the EPA and DEP guided us as to what to do with the water sewer systems. And this, everyone on the council has just worked nonstop to get to the point we are today where we have two new operators and hopefully costs will be maintained, if not lessened, and we'll be running the plants efficiently, safely, and legally. So I really just want to commend everyone. Okay. We have one borough official here. Did you need to say anything, Mike? Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any old business at the table?
Just when the sewer operator takes over, we have to figure out when someone's sewer gets clogged what the procedure is.
Right. You mean a private person's home?
A private person's right. home. What is the procedure? Yeah. When is it on borough property? When is it on their property? Who should pay? So Mike Lyons has written this stuff up for other towns. We have our own stuff written up that we can't find the forms, but I have photographs of it. And we have to get a little bit more into that because this is, you know, procedures are needed, and we have to start in with procedures as soon as possible. So,
okay. Good idea. New business? I have something I wanted to bring up. We have a new pocket park. Is everyone aware of that? That was the plot of land at 571 and Spruce Street, which is directly across the street from the horse farm, was deemed a pocket park last year. It's just a lovely piece of land that belongs to us and the public now. But no one would know that. There is a sign that says Green Acres, but there's no sign calling it a park, and there are no benches. So if you wanted, you could go over and just plop down on the grass or bring a blanket, but there's no way for anyone to know that that's a park that's available for everyone's use. So I thought we could look into possibly allocating some money to put a couple of benches in. A couple of people are new in town, and I drove them over to see it, and I realized, like, there's just no way you would realize it's a park for us by looking at it. And so I thought maybe RAP could, if they were interested, to make a sign, and or if not, maybe we could order a traditional sign. And I really have no idea what a bench costs, but I thought at least it was really beautiful. The first night I went over there to take someone to show them, it was a warm night, and I kind of pulled in on a diagonal, and there were three gigantic deer sound asleep, lying down. So then I felt awful for disturbing them. But it's a beautiful little piece of land. But we need some benches and a sign.
I agree with you. We also need to replace the sign in front of Borough Hall, the freestanding sign. Could call it the free leaning sign now.
Right.
It's kind of,
well, that was
that
sort
over.
Of appeared one day, and
it was a snowplow thing.
I don't know. It was like,
but I think it was brought up during a RAP meeting. I'm on the board too about the possibility of working with the council to make a new sign. And to put the sign kind of over where the butterfly garden is, a little closer to the road.
Right.
Two
so
sides.
You really see as you're approaching
you
town.
Can see it a little
yeah.
better and do mm-hmm. that. And I think we also need a sign for the pocket park.
Yeah.
That would be great. And a bench. So that could be all one project, yeah. I think, that we could do.
Yeah. Or maybe two benches so people can face each other. And
John Ord was thinking about working on that sign or creating a new one outside here. So
outside here.
Yeah.
What committee does that fall under for the council?
I think community
development.
Yeah.
Development.
Do you want to take that up as a project? And
I'll
be glad to be the liaison with RAP too, if you want them to help design it.
The
signs, kind of thing. Maybe even the benches, too.
And then, yeah, to find out about benches. Or sometimes, I don't know, aren't there, like, stools? Or, I mean, it doesn't have to even be a bench with a back, although that would be preferable. But,
right.
you know, sometimes there's just those low benches, to like the one
for
at the cemetery.
People with bad backs, it would be preferable.
Well, I agree, as someone who has a bad back.
Yeah.
But, all right. Any other new business? Okay. Mr. Cannon, do we need a closed session?
Actually, not this evening, Mayor.
First, we have to do public comment for any item.
Oh, got that. I am in another world tonight. Okay, I'm sorry. Forget the closed session comment. We come to the public comment on any item.
So we're going to do it at 7:54.
No, I think it's 7:56.
Yep.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
What did you say before I got here?
Jeff Sean, 18 Tomorrow Drive. I, too, am very appreciative of all the
work that was done for the new contracts, and I know there was concern about the lack of RFPs, but it's certainly mitigated by the fact that they're just 1 year, the contracts, and so then there's a chance to get yourself organized for the next contract. I suppose I don't know anything about it, but maybe in the future, if there's an emergency, there's a possibility of having an RFP that's a very short term, so or, you know, so that you comply with that idea. But anyway, sounds like they sound very good. About the written committee reports, doesn't do us good if they're. We need to see them before the meeting, because then we can read them and come with our questions. I looked for them when I saw the agenda posted. So it was my understanding that that was the way they would be done, that they'd be in ahead of time, and then we would be able to ask our questions when we came to the meeting. And speaking of committees, so Joe has committed to having a utilities committee meeting and Cody, but I think all the committees need to meet. That was what you guys campaigned on. That's why you're in office, because we are looking for...
Well, the committees do meet, Jed, but lately sometimes because of all the negotiations with different contracts, budgets, salaries, they have not been permitted to be open to the public.
Okay.
But the committees do meet.
Well, we'd like to know more about it. I'd like to have, I mean, you know, Steve is new. He's not used to how things work, but certainly we need to have a public works committee meeting and maybe an environmental one. Anyway, more meetings we need. Certainly there are instances where, as you say, it's not appropriate, but it could be done better. So I would like it to be done better. Just to live up to your ideals of what kind of government you want in town. In the past, there was the administration committee, I think, was charged with developing a protocol for contracting services. There was quite a bit of discussion about, there was a question when Joe had contracted Carmela Roberts and Maureen, I think, said, look, isn't this a parallel to the situation where in the previous council the engineering firm was contracted by two council members without the approval of the whole council? So then there was a lot of discussion about figuring out a protocol for that. And the attorney gave a lot of examples of how different towns do it, but I haven't heard anything more about it, and it needs to be worked on. We need to
hear
about
that. Well,
the
protocol is that the council people, before they can incur a bill, are supposed to clear it with the mayor.
Well, I remember that, it isn't just the mayor. You can't hire R3M just on your approval.
Well, no, of course
no.
not.
So but a protocol was discussed in a meeting. I'm sure it's available in the minutes. That
yeah.
There needs to be more of a protocol than that. There was a commitment to
yeah.
have more
yeah.
of a protocol.
No, I remember
we
that
did.
Discussion,
right.
and
right.
that's something that still
right.
will be discussed within administration when
right.
there's an administration committee meeting.
Right.
But administration's been really involved with the contracts.
I'm sure.
That's the problem.
I'm just saying
yeah.
don't lose it. I'm not saying I don't understand why
no,
it's
I
not accomplished.
I didn't forget about that.
I mean, I am very happy for the prospect of the future functioning of the town government and
right.
the town in general since we've had a new administration, but doesn't mean that we can't try to keep track of the loose ends.
It's on our list for
okay.
administration.
Right.
We have about 10 items in administration that are going to be tackled as soon as the
well
smoke
it's
clears.
Good. If you have a meeting, we can
right.
the public can know about it and put in their
yep.
thoughts. I have to look at my list. I strongly object to the idea of limiting public participation. That was a big problem with the previous administration, and I know there's some people who speak at tremendous length, but I don't think having an inflexible rule like that is democratic or a good idea. We need more participation, not less. And where is the pocket park located?
On 571, if you're leaving Roosevelt to go towards Freehold, to go towards Millstown, it's on the left, and it's literally at the corner of Spruce and 571. If you hop over that little Spruce Street, you'd be in Beth's...
It's right behind Bob Clark's house.
Yeah, behind Bob's house, yeah.
I have to say that that seems to me tremendously inaccessible, and I would find it a waste of money to develop it. I don't know why it's been designated a park. I mean, who...
Well, that was done by the previous administration, but nonetheless, since it does exist, it just seems sensible to make... I mean, anyone who lives in Roosevelt could walk there from the path.
Why would you want to be right on 571?
Well, I think the idea is
it's pretty large. You don't have to sit near the street.
The idea is that people could go to the farm with their family, look at the donkeys and the horses, and then maybe segue over to the pocket park.
Well, please don't spend a lot of money on it. I don't imagine that it's going to be used.
I think it's already, I mean, it's already there.
It's already there. That's why I thought, as long as it's there, let people know that, hey, this is a little park. Kids might like to hang out there. It's large enough that you don't have to be near the street.
Well, I'm just giving you my opinion.
Okay, thanks.
I think the Environmental Committee put that together a while back.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
I know. Okay, Mike.
In response to the point that Jeb just made about that pocket part, I think it's important to know that was all that work there was done by volunteers.
Yeah.
There wasn't any cost to the borough in doing that. And, you know, people want to put benches up there. That's something else.
Yeah, I mean, I think
nobody who has worked on the park has asked that the benches be put up. And this is, of course, when you come into Roosevelt from that direction, seeing something other than just overgrowth and having, you know, looks
like
this is all borough land, and it makes it look a little nicer. Might be ideal if that whole section, you know, all the way up to Valley Road was all cleared out and made into... Oh, it is parkland. It is designated parkland, actually.
And all the trees are there that were planted long ago. There's a whole row of trees on either side of the road.
It's gotten all overgrown. If people, you know, people would cut it and make it all into a usable park, that would be great.
It's a very pretty plot of land, and as long as we own it and have it, we might as well make it accessible so people can hang out there.
That's right.
Especially for teenagers, they don't have anything to do. So they can take a walk and, you know, when they're not quite old enough to drive, but old enough to be bored.
Put them all to work ripping out weeds and briars.
Cut down poison ivy.
No, it's just one more place to spend time.
Can I just throw a comment out there?
Yes. Right.
On Jeb's talk about incurring cost and procedure and everything, what had actually happened there was I spoke with Carmela one day and I said, what would it cost to know to fix the garage in the back, you know, that corner of the garage? And she came up with a plan and charged us for it. I want to warn the new members of the council, okay, when you're talking to contractors or anybody about what you think would be a good idea, you have to caution them that... I just want to know your comments on this. I don't want you to do a whole report and charge us for it. So in casual conversation sometimes, you can incur cost. Be aware of that. That's what I'm saying here. Okay. And in terms of RFPs for the water and sewer plant, we spoke with Joe LaRosa also, and Jill Lapotli had a person that she liked, a company that she liked. I looked into both of those and passed all of that on to the other people in the committee, the utility committee. So these were, I thought, the best choices. So, okay.
Any other new business? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Where are we? Public comment. It's time to go home. Bob.
Bob Pocket Park. Just to clarify with regard to the pocket park, it's right behind me.
I know, we all know you, but
so I know
your name.
Oh, Bob Clark, Lake Drive. And so I'm familiar with it, and it is the only area that's cleared there. It's basically cleared because I cleared it and my wife cleared it. And lately, the work that we're doing there is authorized work as opposed to just self-authorized because it's being done under the auspices of the Invasive Species Committee of the Environmental Commission. So we sign waivers and everything is above board so far as clearing away brambles and poison ivy and anything else that would serve as essentially just good breeding ground for ticks. And meanwhile, we got the freeholders to send the Mosquito Control Commission out there to drain the places where when they work on the county drain, which is right in that area, their vehicles would put grooves in the soil, and then that would fill up with water, and that would be a place where mosquitoes would breed. Yeah. And in fact, they were so thrilled to be told that that was a way to deal with mosquitoes that they did it throughout Monmouth County. And the reason they did it is because they came to a meeting here at the Borough of Roosevelt, and I said to them, what can you do about that problem with your vehicles creating mosquito breeding areas? And that was their solution, not just for Roosevelt, but for everyone. So it's a butterfly park, and it's also a pilot project for the elimination of invasive species, and not animals, but plants, really. And it's also a pilot project for the planting of better native species. So it could inspire people, not just on Lake Drive, but elsewhere in Roosevelt, to deal with their own adjoining native species. Sign a waiver, go out and hack down Russian olives, which you see along the border of the wildlife management area in abundance, and are invasive. So the other thing that would be desirable is, in addition to a bench, would be to have a sign like the one that's up by the cemetery, which tells people about the ordinance that exists in town that requires people to pick up after their dogs. And that would be also inspirational for the rest of the town, where that occurs almost never. And if you're and people go there to see the horses, the entire strip is designated by a sign that was provided by the Green Acres people as for open space and recreation. One of the few recreational opportunities in Roosevelt is to walk down Lake Drive and look at and feed grass or apples or whatever to the donkeys and the horses that exist at the horse farm. And of course, it's also very desirable that when the kids bend over to pick up the grass so they can feed it to the horses and the donkeys, they don't encounter the dog leavings. So there's an abundance of issues that are important to the town in general that are microcosmed in that little piece of property. And I think it's worth investing a little in it, benches or in other ways.
Trash can.
Yeah.
A trash can would be great. And it's not really that expensive. Wouldn't be that expensive because, as was noted, it's all volunteer labor that goes into it. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone who hasn't spoken? Mary?
Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. I have
had a question about grass mowing. And I noticed, like, along Eleanor Lane and other places where there's, like, public land, the grass is being mowed along the road. And that used to be the case on Lake Drive. We have undevelopable land, you know, on that one side. And it used to be mowed. maybe the borough mowed it. But I don't think it was mowed last year. And now a lot of invasive, like mugwort and stuff, is coming in there.
We're near 571, that section?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was wondering, can it get back on the program of being mowed? or however you would say it. There are some places where it's not too difficult to mow because only, you know, kind of mugwort and weeds are there. Other places, actually, rose bushes have started to...
Is it mainly brush that's kind of...
It's in some cases you would have to, like, use some clippers
to
clear it.
I think Public Works could probably do that.
More than
That would be good because otherwise things, you know, ticks and other kind of things.
Well,
and for the litter pickup, I picked up that area. It's once things start growing there, you know, it's kind of hard to even remove the litter and things there.
Is that part of Solaris's?
I doubt it.
I don't think it was covered in the contract.
Yeah, I doubt it.
So that's an area that that I think our Public Works Department could
do. Yeah, because you can't really change the contract.
We have the equipment to do it, too.
Okay.
So maybe it could get on the contract next year
or next
something.
Year,
but
Also on Tamara Drive, near the creek going towards Clarksburg, on the far side of the creek, those brushes come out also near your house, by Dave Tice's house there. They kind of reach out and grab. Last year we had Solaris look at Oscar Drive because things were really reaching out up the far side of Oscar Drive there. Mm-hmm. And at the turn going North Valley onto Homestead was getting a little, couldn't see around the corner there. So there was more added to the Solaris this year. But
I know Greg Defoe has made a large format map of the borough, and it's for the purposes of
showing people
landscaping and making sure Solaris does their job. And what we're going to do is color code the areas and put specs next to it for what they're to do. And we could talk to them about including that area, and especially in the next contract, we can contract with them for that. So if anybody knows of any areas like that you see as you walk around or where you live, you know, there's a lot of little areas that probably don't get addressed.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're aware of it, we can put it in the contract and put it on the map, and they'll do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And one other quick thing. In the budget, it looked like clean communities. There was $4,000 there for 2017 and nothing there for 2018. And I know that's a funder of the litter pickup. And also, if your nonprofit is involved in litter pickup, we were getting like a donation, and it was an amazing one. It was like $500.
Well, actually, the borough doesn't put any money into clean communities. It comes from,
that's what I thought.
It's
the
all
county,
grant
right?
program. Yeah,
it's
county.
Coming from the county.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but how did we have $4,000 on that, and then it's gone?
Well, we haven't got our allocation, I guess, yet, but you know, the $500 or $250 kind of, what do you call them?
Second.
Donations that we gave for people who helped out.
Right.
That comes out of that money as well. And so that money starts to dwindle, and then it gets brought back up again when we get allocated the money. So I don't know. Maybe it hasn't been allocated yet. I have to take a look.
George would know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully we will still be able to continue that.
We will. That's
okay.
It's
not in the budget, though.
I have to take a look.
Well, it may just be because we haven't received it yet, but I heard nothing about it being discontinued in any way. So
wouldn't it be there as a projected income?
If it was a revenue item, I have to take a look at the revenue end of it and see
usually
if it's a revenue.
Usually you don't know how much you're going to get, so it's going to be like a Chapter 159 when it does come in and you add it to your budget.
Okay.
Am I
state
saying
budget
159
gets done.
Right, Greg? Revenues of it. Not anticipated.
Yeah, sometimes things won't appear in the budget until you get the revenue item, and then all of a sudden it gets added to the budget. So.
And it's not a grant that we apply for. It's just something that's given to the community?
Yeah, every year. Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And it's a great thing. I think we get the most out of that. And
it's terrific,
yeah.
We get the town cleaned up, the nonprofit gets money.
It's so much fun being out there.
It is. Okay, thank you.
Cragen, 7 School Lane. Last council meeting, Greg said that I should go back to Mr. Morani and the zoning officer and ask him again to give me a letter stating why I would not be allowed to have trailers on my property. So I went back with him, back to him with a witness, and Marini again stated that he would not give me any letter or anything in writing, even though I believe Peggy had asked him to give me something. I then asked him if he would give me at least a copy of the statute that would cause me not to be allowed to have trailers, and he said that he would not. Then I asked him to show me in the book that was right there, the code book, where it stated that you can't have trailers on your property in driveways. He then showed me the statute where it stated that vehicles can be parked in driveways, and he then stated that if a utility trailer was not specifically mentioned to be allowed, then in his interpretation, it's excluded. He's using what's called inventive interpretation. So I showed him the dictionary definition of what is a vehicle from several different dictionaries, where it clearly states that trailers, utility trailers, are vehicles by any stretch of the imagination. He then stated this did not matter because he was the zoning officer and was free to interpret the ordinances. I then asked him if he would take guidance from the mayor or the borough council, and he said no. So in government terms, we call such a person a loose cannon or basically someone who is off the reservation, meaning that he's sort of inventing things on his own. So I then asked him, well, how can we resolve this? He said, well, that I should put my trailers back on the property and that he would then give me a citation and let the judge decide whether a utility trailer is a vehicle or not. Having a zoning officer make up English definitions is not acceptable to me as a citizen of Roosevelt. Or anywhere, actually. So the council is urged to legislate a way out of this mess by inserting a new clause in the code that would define what are sheds, relating back to a previous issue that I had with the previous zoning officer, where he said that my trailers were sheds in his definition. Then also we need a definition for what is a utility trailer. So I drafted something up that I would like to leave with Greg and ask that you take a look at this and distribute it as applicable to the council. And I place myself in all your good hands, and hopefully I can get my trailers back. This is actually urgent for me because...
You want us to pass an ordinance just for you to keep the trailers in the driveway?
I can't hear you, Greg. Sorry.
You want us to pass an ordinance just for you to keep the trailers in your driveway?
I would like you to... In the code right now, there's a section called definitions. And under definitions...
Well, I understand. You're asking us to change the ordinance to permit your trailers.
I would like you to change the ordinances so that at least the zoning officer would have to admit that the trailers are vehicles and therefore allowed under the statute that says vehicles can be in your driveway. And then he couldn't also not go after me and say that they're sheds like McGrath did. I really don't want to go back to court. It took me 6 visits to the court, each of which was pretty stressful.
I told you last time you could go to the zoning board.
Pardon me?
If you don't agree with this interpretation, you can go to the zoning board.
I'm getting here.
There's 2 routes you can take. Zoning board. You clearly don't like his interpretation. You don't agree with it.
Right.
So the zoning board is the proper place to take that appeal. The other way that Mr. Marini suggested is to have the judge in Millstone decide, which is probably faster. It's probably why he suggested it that way. I mean, I'll copy this and I'll send it out to everyone, and they can give me the governing body's decision is ultimately up to them. So,
sure. I completely agree with you. Those are 2 valid routes. The third route is to legislate a solution, which is what I'm actually requesting, because the first 2 solutions don't work because of the following reasons. Having the judge decide means that if the judge, for whatever reason, is having a barrier...
You're asking us to solve your problem with the sledgehammer, to be quite honest with you. Well, so you want us to change the ordinance for everyone in town so you can have trailers, which could affect everyone. If you went to the zoning board and your trailers don't bother your neighbors, you could have a variance, and then when you leave, it would expire, and then we'd all go back to regular.
And
that's the practical consequence. So I'll write that all up, and I'll send it to everybody, and they can tell me what they want to do.
Can I ask you a question?
I can't go to the zoning board for the following reason, that when you try to go for a variance, and this is something that actually is for everybody in town, I would like to solve the problem. If you go for a variance right now, it costs you $500 for the variance, the application. You then have to put $1,200 into a detailed plot plan that has to be accurate to 0.01 hundredths of an inch. According, this is the law. This is what it says. To read the fine print. Then in addition, you have to post a $1,200 bond for expenses, which is... Which
and
not
for all that money, you could just
specified.
Go rent a storage
Excuse me?
Unit, right? For all that money, you could just go rent a storage unit.
Rent what? Storage unit, right.
Right.
So
right.
What I'm saying is going to the planning board is not a solution for me or for anybody else, which is why we have a situation right now in town where there are probably several hundred issues that people have with the current code because, and this is actually, if you go to the old website, you'll see a report that's there with pictures and it's a 40-page report showing how the code doesn't apply to people in Roosevelt, because everybody has trailers, not trailers, but everybody has things like trailers that break the code that are not enforced in Roosevelt. So basically the code exists, but it's not being applicably and equitably enforced across the board. So to answer Greg's question, how do I solve the problem for everybody in town? What's necessary is to legislate a solution. If it takes more than this, then let's go there. But my point is that for me personally, and for everybody in town who wants to have trailers on their yard, and there are over 30 right now in town, some of them have many trailers like I have, the solution is to actually legislate a change, and that would actually be the fastest way, I think, and the cheapest way.
For you, yeah.
For me and everybody in town. The real task that needs to be done, if you're serious about making things good for everybody, doing what's called the public good, would be to be able to have a way to give a variance without having to spend $2,000. If you actually were to inquire of the planning board how many variances have been applied for in the last year, I think you'd find it's a very, very small number because everybody's afraid of the fees. Everybody's afraid of the downside of asking for a variance.
Do you know that for a fact, Mr. Cragen, or is it just that no one's doing...
Pardon me?
Do you know that for a fact, or is it just that possibly people are not performing any work at their homes right now?
How many months did it take? Was it Ed Volkart? Ed somebody? Ed?
Yeah. I don't know. We can't really discuss other people here.
Pardon me?
We can't really discuss other people here, other residents.
Oh.
So, as you've been told by me and Mr. Cannon and Mr. Marini, there are a few different avenues you can take, and I think you know what they are. So I recommend that you, you know, we can talk to the council about whether they're interested in amending the ordinance. You can go to court. You know, there's a number of ways, but this is going on for so many years, Bob, so many years. I recommend that you choose a course of action, and whether that's going to court, whether that's, you know, whatever it is, but just this is going on for years. I know that you want to keep trailers in your driveway. We all know that. But the way our zoning and code enforcement officer interprets it, which is his job, that's why we hire him, that's why he works for us, to interpret the statutes as he sees fit.
Right, it's actually illegal for me and the mayor to go tell him what to interpret.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
So
that's
he's right. He's right in that regard. He's never going to listen to us anyway. The attorney general will be calling.
Sure. And then the upside of that is, number one, for years, yes, I had my trailers very happily on my driveway. I had Alan Malik look at them and give me a letter saying that there's nothing visually offensive about the trailers. I think I gave a copy
that
to
was
you.
Many years ago. Well, I was speaking, actually, and you interrupted me, but I'll allow you to go on.
Thank you. So the point is that, yes, the trailers were allowed there for years. several zoning officers in the past said you can't have them. I said, show me the ordinance where it says you can't have them. After 6 months, they couldn't show me. They couldn't find the ordinances, and the problem went away. And I was allowed to continue to have the trailers until McGrath decided your trailers aren't trailers, they're sheds, therefore I can give you a citation for having sheds in the wrong place. And this was just criminal on McGrath's part, because he was basically lying and inventing language to be able to target me personally for political reasons. And that's basically what the
downside... That's the past, Mr. Kagan. Mr. McGrath is no longer employed here, as you know.
Thanks God.
And we need to, just take it from here. And
yes.
So I recommend that you choose one of the options that's open to you.
And I have.
And from here
on in,
whether it's going to the planning board, going to the court...
No.
Or dropping the whole situation, or asking the council to
bring it to the council and ask for legislation.
But
the bottom line is there's something called a color of law issue.
Can we
color
please move on here, because I think we've given you a number of possibilities for ways to try to get what you need, and I think that's sufficient. I don't see any reason why we should change an ordinance unless there's a compelling public need in general, other than Mr. Cragen. I would like to move on. I think we understand your point.
Right.
This is about the 10th time that you've come before us. So sorry you had to do that so many times. I know you've been before the court in Millstone.
Thank you, Mike, for coming with me one time to support me.
But I think you have some options that we gave you, and I think we need to move on.
Well, one option would be to go to the planning board, provided the planning board will allow me to go for free and get my variance free. If they'll allow that, which
they
have the possibility to do, I'm happy to talk to the planning board about it and go through that, jump through their hoops. That's not the issue. The issue is the $2,400 or so it would cost, which I'm not going to pay.
Yeah, I understand that.
But I would ask the council to look at the letter that I wrote and in your good graces and a good time, see what you come up with. And it's not just for me that this needs to be solved. The ordinances, the code has to be rewritten for the whole town. The code is just impractical and pardon the expression, silly in many instances, and cruel and unfortunate and what's the word for it? Archaic and others. What was originally in the mind of the people who wrote it is no longer applicable for the people in the towns to have a good.
Can we move on, please?
Yes,
series of laws.
Mr. Cragen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to come to the microphone? Any comments, questions, concerns? Okay, being none, we adjourn the public portion at 8:29. Okay, and we do not need a closed session tonight. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Without objection.
Did you second, Mike?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourned at 8:30.